So I'm going to focus on this evening's gospel reading. Just to give you a heads up, there's no fiery special effects in this evening's sermon, sermonlet, or sermuncle, as it's also known. There are no clouds and no pillars, but there is something about that I might make reference to as we go through, just to keep you a little teaser there. This evening's gospel reading is beautifully constructed. One of those wonderful, very carefully put together little passages we have in our scriptures that risks being blindingly obvious to make a point. It gives an almost oversimplified example of how the gospel writers weren't really trying to convince people that Jesus did miracles. In fact, they may well not have believed that Jesus literally did miracles. No, instead, the miracle accounts we have in scripture are there to make a point. They're meant to say something about the essential nature of Jesus, concerned less with what Jesus did than who Jesus was. And so we have this story tonight of Jesus teaching in the synagogue and astounding the people. And I quote, "He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Then, lo and behold, along comes a man possessed with an unclean spirit, a demoniac. One possessed by something larger than themselves, which wishes them harm. And there's a whole discussion we could have there about metaphor and physical and mental illness. Anyway, this nameless individual appears just in time to point out Jesus' authority. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? First, that verbal affirmation of who Jesus is. And then, physically, his authority is affirmed by them being cast out. So that everyone responds at the end of this short passage, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. It's a setup, obviously. But this issue of authority was an important one for the early church, the followers of the way as they were first known. They didn't have the authority of years of history and story passed down from generation to generation, thought about, mused on, argued about that the Hebrew people or the Roman Empire had. They didn't have the structure of temple and cult practice, no scrolls of teachings. They didn't have councils or empire or government, not yet, anyway. From where then? For this burgeoning community was the power, the authority of their new order to come. The writers of the gospel say it comes right from the source, from the divine as mediated from Jesus the Christ. That power was the Holy Spirit. The early Christians, as they were later to become known, were telling the people who heard these stories that the same Spirit that Jesus had was one that they had free and unfettered access to. That was all the authority they needed. No books, no temples, no councils, no buildings, nothing else. And these early Christians stood up, went out, and changed the world. Initially, they were concerned with transformation and standing against the forces of empire and the dominance of religious institutions. Many died because they refused to fight in the empire's armies or to worship Caesar or to obey religious authorities who collaborated with the empire. As time went on, though, the leaders of the church were no longer troublemakers, pacifists, activists. But as the structures grow, they think their best hope of survival, and indeed of spreading this message that they now had codified and started writing down, compiling and editing, their best way of moving forward is to align with the empire, to become the religion of the emperor. Perhaps they truly thought that converting the empire to the way of Jesus would transform the world for the better, that it would be the way of doing the work of God in making all things new. Whatever the motivation in these third and fourth centuries of what we call the common era, the church as we have it takes shape. The authority comes not now from the Spirit, but in a combination of having the support of the empire and from the institution itself. The authority of the church becomes its own authority. Well, thanks for the somewhat simplistic history lesson, you may be saying. But what does that say to us here today? And what's it got to do with fire and smoke and pillars? Well, that's about authority as well, and that the source is with the people of Israel. The Spirit, the divine, is right there. And that's all I'm going to say about that. The question we have to ask as church now is, where does our authority to speak come from? How can we disentangle ourselves from the empire, which would like us to continue as enforcers of the general moral code and the ethics and assumptions of our culture? Ultimately, be good consumers and nice capitalists. Don't make too much fuss. We do not, as a church, have the authority that we once had, that was maybe once implicit in our role as a religious institution. We don't have the authority that came from our connection to the colonial mothership of the Church of England. We don't have the authority of being seen as a bastion of uprightness and virtue. We, as a church, I believe, are being called to the authority of authenticity, of being not only committed to justice and equity in our words and ritual, but in the ways that we both as individual and community conduct ourselves with integrity and compassion. It's not a new idea. Indeed, Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." And also, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." That gracious, loving heart at the heart of the church will give us an authority which comes from being seen as genuine and genuinely committed in word and deed to all people and to creation. And I believe that we are being called again to the authority of the Spirit, to being people who give voices to the deepest longings of the human spirit, for ritual and liturgy and music, for transcendence, gathering which both honors our history and seeks to express faith for the current day. To being a place of belonging, of celebrating our shared humanity and celebrating the diversity that that humanity has created and continues to evolve. To affirming all for who they are and inviting them to participate in this dance of discovery, this quest for meaning and purpose, to encourage questioning, seeking, learning, challenge together, to being community. Then I hope people will say that we have a new, or rather rediscovered, teaching with authority. Thanks be to God.